Let's pray together.
Our Father, as we pray unto you, as we ask your blessing, that blessing is the Holy Spirit. There's no need to play games here or to fumble for words, as we know what we need from you in this hour. It is your Holy Spirit to make Christ known. And we pray that he takes control, that he has full authority, that he rule over us and enable us to hear the word. Show us our Lord Jesus Christ, your exalted Savior, whom you made Lord. Show him in the glory of the gospel for Christ's sake. And give us utterance. Amen. I'm very happy to be here this morning. I have been praying for these meetings in an unusual way. I'm convinced that men need to hear the gospel here. I think often we think it's the churches, but it starts with the pastors. Our churches would not be in the condition that they are in if the pastors had the filling of God the Holy Spirit. That is what we need in a desperate way. It's the filling of God the Holy Spirit and the ongoing usefulness that comes from his power. He alone can enable us to do our ministries. And without him, we are left unto the tactics of the flesh. And they breed misery, and they breed bondage and the service of self. But when the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes with power, then we're able to serve others and preach Christ with authority. And I want to preach in this scripture. Is beginning in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 3 and 4. This is when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. I remind you that the disciples already knew the gospel, but they were not able to go forward until the Holy Spirit came with power. It's the same with you and I. Even if we know the gospel, we can't go without the Spirit. So verse number 3 from Acts 2, then there appeared to them distributed tongues. The Holy Spirit gave them languages. And you see that word tongue here, it means languages. That's what it's pointing to. Not gibberish, but languages that are easily understood by the people who hear them as their birth language. In our earlier, it was in the reading, is we saw at least 15 different languages were used here in Acts 2. In between verse number 9 and 11, there are at least 15 different languages there. And if you add in the Galilean tongue, that would make for 16, I believe, at least. If they heard them speak in their own tongue, their own language, if that miracle was still here, it would be obvious. You wouldn't have to listen unto some missionary report. Off in some jungle, it'd be happening here in Kaduna and California and the USA. That gift is gone. But the gospel is still here in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a great mistake that people make, that because the miracles are not here in the same way as when the apostles were alive on earth, they make the mistake of thinking the Holy Spirit is gone. And then in order to imitate His power, the Holy Spirit has been assigned the works of the flesh by man. And so that the imitation of the Holy Spirit has been given unto men as a lying sign and wonder to put a false confidence in something that is really not God. But when this happened at Pentecost, these tongues, they came upon them as a fire. These tongues were visible. It was a mighty rushing wind that was in of the building. And the whole house was filled. If the miracle was here as a Pentecost, I'd see a tongue of fire on it would be above your head, and you would see a tongue of fire. I saw a man, this was a few months ago, I believe it was in Nigeria. It may have been in South Africa. But he pretended an angel visitation. Oh, it was in Nigeria. And the angels were being broadcast on this screen. It was just a trick. And the angels were dressed like regular Nigerians, just huge. It was a trick. It was a fraud. And these men are imitating the power of the Holy Spirit now as to whether they know it or not. But when this happened, it sat as a flaming tongue of fire upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what I want to talk about this morning. As the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit is the only one, the only Spirit that can give us utterance, the ability to speak the gospel. There is no power in man. I am a slave of the Spirit's power. I'm anointed by God to preach the gospel or I'm not. There is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that I can do in my strength and you in your strength. Even if we know the gospel, that's not good enough. That is a trap I had fallen into as a young believer. I tell the story all the time. And it's with pain, and it's with shame. And I pass it on to you to learn a lesson from my failure and the hardship I went through. I learned my preaching, sir, in the bottom, in the belly of the fish. That's the university, that's the school I went to. It was the whale's belly. Just like Jonah. It's what I love, is as to what I learned, is that I cannot function without the Holy Spirit's power. I thought I could do it. I had the intellect of the gospel, as I knew the doctrine, I could see Christ in Scripture, and I have natural zeal, I'm hardworking, smart guy, extremely zealous in the flesh. And I thought I didn't need. And I remember that I did something, and it was an accident of sorts, and it was also a sin. I took an older man's advice against the thing I could see in Scripture. And God reproved me. And He showed me after I did it, I was wrong. And even as I was doing it, I didn't have the peace of mind and conscience that I normally had. So if I had more wisdom, I would know that something is wrong. I'm not in joy. I'm not in peace. But then after I did it, He showed me I was wrong. I had listened unto a human being instead of God. And we can never do that. If we see it in Scripture, we have to obey unto the death. We have no choice. But it wasn't that bad if I had repented, sir, and said, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I need Your Spirit. It's obvious I've lost His presence, but I didn't do that. I confessed my sin, but I did not admit I needed the Spirit of God. And here's what I said in my stupidity, in my silly heart. In my mind, I thought, I can do this until the Holy Spirit comes back. And I will present You, Lord, a glorious church. I'll preach the doctrine, I'll be zealous, I'll be faithful, and when You come back, You'll see what I've done for You. That's idolatry. It's the religion of Cain. It's the flesh. It's human strength. The Almighty God, He doesn't need our strength. And He never uses it. He only calls, He only uses people who have absolutely no strength. Now let's have a look at a Scripture or two. It's the book of Isaiah, please, in chapter number 40. And I want to show you how I used to read this verse and how I see it now accurately. It's Isaiah 40. Verse number 29 is, He gives power to the weak. I used to read that as if I'm in trouble, if I'm weak, if I'm having a hard time, that's when He gives me power. But what that meant really was that I have this under control up until I get into a bad fix. And then I'll say, Lord, help me. That's not what the text says. What the text is actually saying is that it's we are weak. And without Him, if we can do, in Spanish, it is nada. I had some Spanish in school and I struggled. I don't have a gift of tongues. I don't know how you say nothing in Hausa, but it's nothing in English. We can do nada, nothing at all. We can't walk with God, we can't serve with God, we can't do anything at all that pleases God. It takes the Holy Spirit and not the strength of human beings. He doesn't want us involved. Oh, when Uzzah,
He reached out. He touched the ark. He helped God. What happened to him? He died. You helped God, you died. You put your hand on it. If we help God, He doesn't get the glory. In the work of redemption, it's Christ alone, right? It's the finished work of Christ, adding absolutely nothing. Our worship, our praise, our acceptance is Jesus Christ. And Paul says, if you be circumcised, if we do anything on top of Christ for access and favor and to be proven as righteous and acceptable, if I add anything unto Christ, Christ profits me nothing. And then in the preaching of the gospel, in the Holy Spirit's power, that's how we serve God. It isn't our own strength. He gives power unto the weak. I am weak. And to those who have how much might, no ability in themselves, He increases strength. This is something I believe I said on Saturday, brethren. If you want to have power, you have to admit you have none. And then you rely upon God, and you have more than you ever imagined. I don't know how big our brother Samson was, but even if he was all yoked out with muscles, he couldn't do the things he did. And he might have been of a smaller frame. Because the power, it wasn't his muscles. It isn't our brain power. It isn't our ability to speak. It isn't natural strength. Oh, so you went to school, you're hardworking men, etc. That means nothing with God. He's looking for weakness. Weakness. Inability himself. It's those who wait upon the Lord. That's who gets strength. The Apostle Paul, he was given what? A thorn in the flesh. The messenger Satan. Let's have a look at that, please. It's the book of 2 Corinthians 12. And that's what I'm saying is the necessity of the Holy Spirit. And I get to understand His power and to taste His blessed sweetness after He has really broken us from off ourselves. And He'll keep doing it by His grace. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 was given a thorn in the flesh. The messenger Satan, he says in verse 8, that concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord. I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So instead of preaching unto our people that you're going to have no trouble, say, if need be, that you and I will be in all kinds of troubles. That's what our brother Peter said. If need be, if it's necessary, if it's the best thing for our souls, there will be the devil after us. That's one of the things that hurts me so much in Nigeria, is the slander, is the gossip of the same people I want to work with. These men know the gospel. But they don't want to work with me. And I have to love them even if I'm misused by them. Even if my name is spread over Africa as an evil thing, I have to love them. But the pain is that if you love them and you want unto be brothers, but guess what?
That may be the best thing that happened unto me here. Because it taught me to rely upon God instead of man and just go. The Holy Ghost is the validator of our ministry. It isn't our degree on the wall. It isn't what the professor said. It isn't what the church says. It's a holy life. It's a pure gospel. And it's the power of His joy. And other people may see that and bless God and rejoice. And others, they may look at that and hate you and envy you. The Apostle Paul was envied. Our Lord Jesus was envied. Our brother Joseph was envied. Isaac was envied. Brother Daniel was envied. If the Almighty is on your side, somebody in the church will hate you. Somebody in the kingdom will hate you. Envy. But Paul said, I pleaded with the Lord. In verse number 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient. I don't need to end your trouble, Paul. I don't need to change your condition. I need to keep you humble. I need to keep you lowly. I need to keep you broken, that my grace might be useful in your life, or you'll lean upon your own strength. And when you do that, I won't work with you. I won't use you. I won't speak by your voice. For my strength is made perfect where? Weakness. Oh, when I got nothing, I lean on God. I got power. I used to talk with the stutter. I still do. Every once in a while I have to go on my YouTube and I have to look up some of the things and have to relearn my techniques. But God begins to loose my voice so I can preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And when I'm stuttering, I have to lean on Christ. And if my tongue is flowing, I have to remember to lean on Christ. Not your words, not your tongue, not your loose voice, but the power of God. God speaks in the hearts of men. That's preaching. It's not man. It's not human. It's from above. Oh, and until we get that, if we miss it, saints, if we use so many tricks and tactics instead of God, oh, if we go into battle and we're trusting in our bow and our shield and our sword and our horses, and we go home empty-handed. But if we trust our God, we'll never lose. He can't fail. Whether by life or death, the Apostle Paul said, Christ is going to be magnified in my body. In my body. His strength made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I rejoice in this, Paul says. I'm not having a pity party. I'm not depressed. Oh, my soul. Was a young man that I've known for some years online. And he wrote me, I think it was last night or the night before. And he was, you know, as he was trying to tell me his problem. And he starts with, as house ministry, it's the culture in Africa is so different than us back home. And is in California, because you get at the point. If you don't, if we think that you're not being honest, if you ask her as to how I'm doing and how ministry, but you have this on your mind, I think just get to the point. Here is completely different. If you don't ask as to how is your family, as to how you slept last night, is they think he doesn't care about me and he just wants something. And that's where I'm from, if we know that you just want something.
But that's how we interact. And so I said, get unto the point and make it clear. And so he told me he's still struggling with sexual sin. And he's wondering if he should remain pure. Because he's a virgin. So I preach the gospel. One, it's obvious. It's a command. And the Lord Jesus was pure. And he wasn't miserable. The Apostle Paul was pure. I'm unmarried. I'm not miserable. I cannot have sex the rest of my life and be as happy as anyone on earth. That's not where the joy is from. Or I can marry and serve and give glory unto God. It's not in sex, it's in Christ. It isn't in family, it's in Christ. It isn't in kids, it isn't in ministry, it's in Christ. Oh, we need to learn that. That's joy. That's the source. It's the will of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. It's to see Christ. But then I told him to seek after the power of the Holy Spirit and that the shed blood of Christ would bring the Spirit down and he could walk in power and he could do God's will and he could be content as a single person. And he said, okay, thank you, sir. And I was happy. And then he replied again, oh, and by the way, I'm seeing a woman at the church. Pray for us. I haven't responded yet. This brother doesn't need to get married. Mm-hmm. That might be the worst thing that could happen to him. Is he gets married and he satisfies his flesh, but he never gets unto God the contentment, the peace, the joy, the power of the gospel, and he makes another person unto be miserable. And he can't point her eyes unto Christ. He needs to solve his problem with lust and being discontent. He must solve that problem first. Then he can be a husband and he can lead a wife, or he can stay single according unto God's will. You have not because you ask not. As you're asking for this and you need that, as you're asking for a wife and you need contentment and self-control, as you're asking for pleasure in the earth, in this world, and what you need is pleasure that comes from God. That's the Holy Ghost. His power. His power. But most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast in my weaknesses, my infirmities, the things that trouble me, that the power of Christ may rest on me. He's saying this. I would rather be beaten down and have the power of God than anything on earth. I've learned that whatever state I'm in, he said, I can be content. If I'm up, I'm rejoicing in the Holy Ghost and I'm blessing God. If I'm down, I'm rejoicing in the Holy Ghost and I'm blessing God. The power of God is more important than our life. I don't know what you're living for. But without God's power, this is hell on earth. It's the most miserable, it's the most weak. I can't serve God with joy. I have no power in the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friend is not even near unto me. He's not near me and you. And so, saints,
Let's confess our sins. It's the book of Hebrews, please, in chapter 12. Because I believe that this is going to be helpful. I hope that this is helpful unto us. I have a knowledge as to what is needed here as the Holy Spirit. As I preach in a place, this was very recently. I preached with power, sir. I was surprised. It was clear. Everyone, is their eyes were on me. It was all attention. The Holy Spirit, just the people didn't even blink. And then after the sermon, as I'm waiting on the pastor, the only thing the pastor actually wanted to talk about is the building project. The Holy Spirit of God had made known the gospel in supernatural power above myself. And he wanted to talk about the building project. And the troubles in the church that needed financial help. It's because he saw me, sir, as an avenue to success, and in his mind that means I need money to get this thing done. As he told me about some financial problems he had, some struggles, and so I listened and I offered a way to help. Not in my own pocket, but his church. If you need housing and there's a house of a member that has moved, as you move in, you ask this member if the house is empty. And then he switched it up and said, well, the housing is actually okay. Well, as to why didn't you say that the first time? Just bless God. I've got housing covered. Instead of saying, oh, I need housing too, it's a burden. That's a lie. And a man of God who lies is not fit in the pulpit. He's a liar. That's to be repented of. He's a money grubber. He's after the things of the flesh. And this, it can be Equa, it can be Koken, it can be Baptist. It's not only our Pentecostal and our charismatic friends out there. It's in here too. As we raise more money, as we think that the ministry is money and success, and so we have trained our people that if they give money, that's how they show their love of God. If they show up at all the meetings, if they give money, and we haven't pointed them to Jesus Christ. If we haven't made them to have a full belly, sir. That you're full, you're finished the work of Christ, the finished work of Christ. You're complete in Him, you're accepted, you're chosen, you're saved, and you have it all. Now give. Now give. And we're not preaching with contentment, if we're preaching with covetous gain and trying to manipulate the people to put in the box, because that is the measure of success from headquarters on down. What's in the box? Instead of what's in the heart of the people. I told this man, don't worry about the building, worry about the people. That's the church. If you meet under a tree, that's the church. If you meet in a school, that's the church. That's the church. If you get a canopy, that's the church. It's the people. I'm in need. And we're in need of repentance. and the Father is chastising us if we know God. It's from Hebrews in chapter 12, verse number 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. What does that word scourges mean? What does it mean to scourge? It's discipline, it's punish, but power. It's the whip. Is the word is only used in the New Testament in relation to Jesus Christ and to the disciples who would be whipped in the synagogues. Before they murdered our Savior, the Son of God, they whipped his back with blood. And our Father, he whips us. He disciplines us by taking away all pleasure in the flesh until our souls are miserable and empty. And I wonder, sirs, if that is how you're doing. Is it how you're feeling? Your soul is miserable and empty. You can't get unto your beloved the joy and peace that's in the gospel. Because you can't get it. And if our soul is in that place, it's a good thing. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Now, every man is miserable without God. He just doesn't know it yet. Is Buhari is miserable. Is Mr. Dangote is miserable. They don't have God. But they may have the smile of this world and not know it, not know that they need God and Jesus Christ, and be as happy as they can be on the way to hell. But his children are miserable if he's absent. And that is the whipping. It's not my circumstances. That may open my eyes, but hard times made Paul to rejoice in Christ. It was a gift. But the misery is in the soul. I can't see God. I can't get peace. I can't get joy. I'm doing this myself. I'm in the flesh. Yes, I did something this week. I won't discuss it, but it grieved my heart. And it acted as a warning. I need to keep close watch on myself. Because Scripture says, in nothing can we dishonor the ministry. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. In nothing. If I love this ministry, I've been given by God this blessing to preach the gospel. In absolutely nothing am I able. I'm not able to dishonor it. You saints are able to dishonor our ministry in any way. Brother Jonathan Edwards says,
that when He uses you in a revival, if your conduct has to be so spotless, because the people, the enemies of the gospel and the power of the Spirit, they are going to hate you and envy you, and your conduct has to be so perfect that they have nothing evil to say against you that's just and righteous. That's the calling of God unto ministry. High calling. High calling. Not with tricks and tactics, but a holy life. In the power of God. In sincerity. In love. In truth. In generosity. Oh, making many rich, even though I'm poor. And possessing all things, even though I have nothing. But God is saying, I chastise you and I discipline your soul. Why? It's because you're not giving glory unto Jesus Christ. You're glorying in yourself. You're serving yourself. You're doing things, as the old song says, my way. Whom the Lord loves, He chastises. He chastises. He chastises. And it's a good thing. Let's have a look at that scripture in 2 Corinthians 6. It's a good thing, saints, is because it makes us to cry out, it's unto God. It's an act of love. It's an act of love. It's an act of love. And so as me and you endure His whip, His rod, let us look up to Him and know He loves us. And to keep drawing near and to learn our lessons and be in full of repentance so the Holy Spirit, He can come back. 2 Corinthians 6 in verse number 3 through 10. This is a sincere ministry. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry be not blamed, sir. If he says in verse number 1 that it's we then as workers together with him also plead with you. This is our ministry, is to work with God, is to be used by God. And so verse 3 is, we give no offense in anything, that our ministry be not blamed, is because it is so important. But in all things is, we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments. It's in tumult, it's in labors, it's in sleeplessness. This is a normal Christian ministry of the gospel. It's in fasting, it's by purity, it's by knowledge, it's by long suffering towards people who hate you, it's by kindness, it is by the Holy Spirit. He's our power. It's by sincere love, it's authentic, it is nothing fake. It's by the word of truth. It's by the power of God. It's by the armor of righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ, that's on the right hand and on the left, and our righteousness speaking unto us and unto others as a result. Because God has transformed us with power. It's by honor. It's by dishonor. Oh, we're not complaining. It's by evil report and good report as deceivers, as accused of lying on God and yet true, as unknown as if I'm preaching in a village. I'm known by nobody and yet I'm well known by God and His people as dying and behold we live, as chastened by God Almighty and yet not killed. He still uses us as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing, always rejoicing. Let's pause there now. Can we do that? Are we doing that? In this particular place, I had preached with unction. And the Sunday school teacher was, you know, as to when I met him, his smile was ear to ear. He seemed like a nice guy and just overly nice. But there are some people, it's the personality, smile big, and it's all teeth, and that's just them. Okay. And he's a good teacher in the sense he has the ability to teach, but he did not teach the gospel. He taught morality and ethics. And that's what has been dominating our pulpits. How to be good boys and girls. How to live for Jesus, but there's no preaching of Jesus. It's the big word is integrity. Integrity. And integrity is great if you have the gospel. But you remove Christ and Him crucified, the integrity, it will send us to hell. It's just moral religion. It means nothing. The Apostle Paul is saying it's in the Holy Spirit. It's in the power of God. But the book of Romans in chapter number 15, this is what is needed. He said, always rejoicing. As sorrowful, I got things that hurt me, he says. But always rejoicing. That's a sincere ministry. That's a mark of a man of God. And this man I had preached to with unction, he was smiling in the church as the message was being preached. He looked more sober, but then afterwards, all he talked about is the whole way back. All he talked about is the Muslims, is the economy, is the roads, is Nigeria, is the politicians. He didn't have one positive word in the whole while he took me home, sir. Nothing but murmuring and complaining. And he was speaking as with this other pastor, and it was in broken. And they, after a while, they said, we apologize for, you know, it's we're using our language as we left you out. I said, I understand, sir. I can hear broken. It's English. It's just a little bit different. These Muslims, I said, they're our mission field. If they move in next door, it's a mission field. Especially here, it's an opportunity to minister, to preach the gospel. To tell them, if you're living in a Christian area and a Muslim, he dares, and to live here, we got to get him the gospel. At the morning hour, at lunchtime, in the evening, be preaching Christ so he hears. I was up. This was in Castina. Yes. And there are many Muslims there, and the Muslims there are
From my experience, as comparing with Kano or Maiduguri or up in Sokoto, and the Muslims in Cusheda are nice people. They'll smile and wave at you. And this man, I suppose, is a Christian, because he has a shop and we're eating lunch, and there are many Muslims in there. And he has this man that's preaching on the radio. And he's preaching health, wealth, and prosperity. And I was just outraged. He's preaching is you'll have money and you won't have problems if you come to Christ. And these Muslims are hearing that it's trash. Filthy. In the name of Christ, filth. And I'm thinking this opportunity is wasted. Oh, what if a man was on the radio preaching Christ with power and authority? They would have to hear it, or they would have to kill the man in the shop just to silence the voice. Oh, that's how we got to preach the gospel. Either they kill us, or they leave, or they get converted. We're going to preach Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. Is that our determination? Hear me. Are we trying to bring the people back and make sure that the people keep coming? Or are we preaching the gospel as best I can? Hear me now, and I feel like I'm complaining, but I'm hitting on some issues I hope and I trust are true, and I know that they are true. I hope it's helpful in the Holy Spirit and will point us unto Christ. Here's my point. As I went into the church, and the worship service after Sunday school, it started, it was either 9 o'clock. And so for almost 2 hours, it's an hour and a half. No, it's an hour, it's almost, it's music, it's announcements, it's offering. And then I go up into the pulpit, and the man tells me, excuse me, you have half an hour. And at the most, because I'm assuming he saw my face, at the most, 45 minutes. Preaching is the centerpiece of the worship service. Everything revolves around the preaching of the gospel. If we have to cancel announcements, if we have to sing fewer songs, if they're that busy on Sunday morning, exalt the preaching of the gospel and preach until you're finished bringing them to Christ. Because this is the message of their eternal souls. This is God talking. It's not just man. We have not come here to worship ourselves and play church. We've come to worship God. So we're going to make time for the preaching of the gospel. With the seminar, I like to start at 5 after, and I like to end on time. Is you know how much time you need to preach? Is it 45 minutes? Is it an hour? But don't feel rushed and have to cram it in to only 30 minutes just to keep the people just to satisfy the flesh. Oh, if I preach for too long, I'm going to lose my crowd. Preach the gospel and make God, make Him bring you back, because there's something in the pulpit with power. And if God's there, He'll bring the people He wants there. Just keep on reaching out and sharing. Oh, we're here for Christ. It's for Christ.
Is this our attitude? It's the book of Romans in verse number 13. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. Now may the God of hope, the Apostle Paul said in the previous text in 2 Corinthians 6, he said, rejoicing always. Now, here's how I can do it. Now may the God of hope, he fill you with all joy, and peace in believing. There is something in that gospel about the satisfaction of sins and God on my side that gives me and you joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the supernatural power of the Christian life. The Spirit is absent, there is no joy, and there is no abounding in hope. And so now King David, it was when he tried to move the ark in his own strength, is he moved it with joy, but it was in the flesh, and Uzzah died, and then he got angry at God. But when he moved it again, the second time, in the right way, it was on the poles of faith. It was never touched. And the priests were out in front, blasting trumpets and honoring the ark of God and the finished work of Christ. And there was great joy. And that's when King David, as he got to dancing in his undergarments, is he had on some breeches, an undershirt, and he is boogieing with the Lord. He's accepted. And he said, after he was challenged, I'm dancing because God chose me. Instead of your father, a shepherd's boy. He brought me out the sheepfold and he made me king. He did all the work. He kept me faithful. He's using me. He put me in the ministry as king. Is that why me and you are rejoicing? We've been chosen by God to minister the blessed gospel. And we've been chosen by God for salvation. And our sins are forgiven because of Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit because He sent Him down. That's a sincere ministry. That's the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Let's go back into Acts chapter number 2, as we have about 17 more minutes, and I'm going to cram in as to what I can. Verse number 21, Acts 2, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Is you will get this power. He will come into your midst. Acts chapter 2, verse number 32, verse 33, this Jesus has God raised up, of which our brother Peter says, all of us are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted, woo-wee, that's what they saw before Pentecost happened. Is the Lord Jesus had been resurrected, he spoke unto them, as we learned on Saturday, in the power of the Holy Ghost. He told them to wait, and then they watched as he ascended up into heaven, into the clouds. And then when their heads are like this, it's the angel spoke and said, "What you looking at? He shall come back in the same manner that he went up," and they know for a fact he's exalted. How about us? Do we know he's exalted? He's exalted at the right hand of God because his work was finished at the cross. It was by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God that men with wicked hands slew him. But it was the purpose of God from all eternity. Because God made this world to save a people. He had our names marked out in the book of life. The only people that are going to be saved, their names are already in that book, inscribed by God. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's got power, he's in charge, he's in control, and our sins, the sins of the church, the elect, they were laid on Jesus and punished in full. The wrath of God punished him, and then death, it could not hold him. Why? He had paid the price. He went into the prison house and paid the price. So on the third day, he rose up from the dead victorious. And now, he's exalted, sat down at the right hand of God, expecting until his foes have made his footstool. Right? This is the gospel. And they knew it, and they preached it with power, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit. The Father, he told his Son, "You go down there and die. I'm going to lay their stripes on you. And I'm going to heal their immortal souls by the power of the Spirit, whom I'm going to send after your work is accomplished perfectly. And because you've paid for their sins already, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, who is going to call them by the preaching of the gospel out of their sin, out of their dungeon, out of their despair, out of their unbelief, unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ." Woo! Him being exalted unto the right hand of the Father, and having, as he received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he earned it with his blood. He poured out this which you see in here. God sent God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get him. He's owed unto the church by the blood of Christ. He bought us with his blood. He paid for us to be saved. And the Holy Spirit has got to come down in power and call us out, a glorious church, unto himself. It's the plan A of God. And he has no plan B. Lamb was slain from before the world started. This is his original idea. The words I'm speaking at this moment, the thoughts in our heads, are his plan A from eternity. That Holy Spirit is going to come down upon us as we pray, ask, beg, as we look unto him and say, "For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, this is what I need more than anything on earth. I don't need money. I don't need health. I don't need a big church. I don't need a happy marriage. I need God, the Holy Spirit, in my heart with power to live the Christian life." And then with utterance, I'll speak as one who believes it, and I'll have joy, and I'll have peace, and my chastisement, it will be over, and I'll have the strength of God. Oh, my soul, saints, my brothers, that's what we need more than anything. There are no tricks. There's a God to come into our heart by the Spirit because Christ died. Let's get Him. Let's go after Him. Whoever calls on His name, He'll have the power. Let's not just hear preaching. Let's not just hear an interesting talk. Let's not say the American was well educated in Scripture. No. After I'm gone, may there be God in you with power. And then you pass them on to other people. This is the obsession of my life. I got to get them in here before I can have them here. Here. It's through here, but it's got to get here. Here. You got to have the Holy Ghost. And when you and I have Him, life changes. There is joy in continuing peace, sir. Even when I'm chastened, I know my God loves me. And I draw near. I was wrong, Father. But I know You love me. Help me. Pull me. Pick me up. Come back. And it's through worshiping Him in our tears of struggle and our confession of sins and drawing near and believing His goodness, He does come back. He'll restore your soul. He'll give you Himself. He found me in the gutter. And I was scared. He would never come back. Oh, I thought I was so unworthy. I had squandered His presence. I quit ministry. I quit preaching. I swore I'd never preach again. But when He came back, He showed me His glory. He showed me Christ, and then the Spirit was in me with power. And He used a half a second prayer. I had gotten intoxicated with wine on Friday. Drunk with wine. I cried out in agony on Saturday. This isn't me. On Sunday, I saw I had a choice. All in for Jesus or heading for hell. But on that Saturday, as I'm convicted of my sins, the thought came into my mind. What you really need is you've been praying. It's a million prayers, right? What you really need is to see His glory. And I thought, I even chuckled out loud. I thought, I'm so unworthy of that. But you still need it. I prayed a half a second prayer in my mind with closed lips, with much unbelief and this much faith. Lord, show me Your glory. And by Tuesday, I had seen the glory of God. And by Monday, I was in full consecration. I was trusting in the Holy Spirit. I knew I had no power. I trusted the blood of Christ. I knew His blood was sufficient for the Spirit to come and change my life and put down my sin. And by Tuesday, I'm speaking the gospel uncontrollably almost, because the Spirit has showed me Christ, and I'm the happiest I had been in 18 years since I lost my first love at that mistake of going without the Holy Ghost. I had the doctrine, and I had faults and errors because you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're preaching for yourself. You're living for yourself. And your power over sin is not what you pretend it is.
Maybe in public, as you can, but you know yourself in that closet. But when he came back, he cleaned the closet. And the public is even better. It's real joy, real peace. So I'm obsessed with it. I don't need anything else. There's a young woman I've been communicating with, and I told her, this is my prayer for me and you. The Holy Spirit of God. We don't need anything else. If we got the power of God, and we can bear sufferings and tribulations and joys and everything, that nobody can stop us. Not pain, not sickness, not death. Not if we got God on the inside with power. We are worshiping Him and serving Him and living for His glory, and we are following the leadership of God. Because no man has the Holy Spirit of God and lives to serve himself. He's a follower of Christ now. Wherever he says go, he follows the Lamb. Whatever the scripture says, he preaches it and he obeys it by the power of God, the Holy Ghost. He's not reading his Bible to twist it or to hide it. He's reading it to obey it in power. Instead of looking for a way around what the scripture says, he's looking to do it with power. He's looking up with a Bible in his hand. He's relying upon God. And God sees him with no strength. But because of the imputed righteousness of Christ and the work that he did on the cross, he gives him strength. It's when he sees him faint and weary and having no strength. I think I have another. Yes, I have another. Yes, I have another 4 minutes. It's Isaiah in chapter number 40. Let's go back there. This is a promise from Almighty God that we can take with us. Isaiah chapter number 40. Verse number 31. Well, let me start at verse 30. Is even the youth shall faint and be weary, all those who look strong or rely upon themselves, or it's the people that you would think would have some strength, is they have a degree from the seminary. And the young men shall utterly fall. It's the human strength is failing. Verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord, who tell God, I don't have any strength. I can't go without you. I cannot do this without you. I can't live the Christian life without you. I can't have joy without you and hope and power and peace. I'm helpless. That's what they did at Pentecost. They waited on the Lord. They refused to go without the Holy Spirit's power. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall get more strength, because he's faithful to those who look to him and wait as helpless babies, helpless sinners, and helpless saints, trusting the blood of Christ. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will get supernatural power that's greater and stronger
and the young men of this earth who rely upon their degrees and their intelligence and their and the charisma and their charm and their humor, and that they shall run and not be weary. They'll have the supernatural power of God, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, those who wait on God, instead of going in human strength and charm and manipulation and the law to whip sinners and to trick sinners into giving money, those who wait on God, they're going to get God. And they're going to get something far better than anything on earth. They'll mount up eagle's wings. They'll run. They'll fly. They'll walk. And they'll keep going. Because God Almighty will be with them until the end of our days. As He told Asaph, this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. As long as you look unto me, I'll be with you. But you take your eyes off me, I'm gone. And that's what happened under that mighty king. He was strong for many, 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 many years. And then he sought the doctors instead of the Lord. As he put the prophet in prison instead of hearing and obeying. He stopped trusting in Christ. He stopped trusting in his God, and he began to trust his ingenuity. And he lost it. He died with a disease in his feet. He could not walk with God as he did in his youth. But those who keep on looking to Christ, who keep on believing, oh, as I told God, can I have another minute? Oh no, this particular clock is wrong. 2 Chronicles chapter number 15. And I'm going to go just a couple minutes over, but not more than that. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, if you seek him, us here, right here, if you seek him, make it personal, he will be found by you in the Holy Spirit's power. But if you stop doing that, if you stop actually relying upon God in the ministry of the gospel and in the living of the Christian life, he's gone. That you have grieved the Spirit. And you may be really saved, but you'll be really miserable. Now the Lord bless you.